At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patriot professor, a bit of a sad patriot professor tonight. If you are a heavy metal fan like I am, I don't know how many of you know that, I'm a guitar player, and heavy metal guitar playing was very influential on my technique, at least back in the day. But today is definitely a very sad day for all heavy metal fans. The one and only Ozzy Osbourne has passed away. He was 76 years old. And his death truly represents the end of an era. If ever there were a heavy metal icon in the fullest sense of the term, it was without question Ozzy. I mean, he literally had a major worldwide music festival named after him, right? Ozfest, an annual music festival tour of the United States, Europe, Japan, featured some of the biggest names in metal. No one embodied the fullness of the heavy metal genre quite like Ozzy Osbourne. He was there from the very beginning. He hooked up with Tony Iommi and the other members of the band Black Sabbath back in 1968, the year I was born. And metal was just starting primarily through Black Sabbath. So in many respects, Ozzy helped forge the very beginnings of the sounds of heavy metal. Fun fact, if you don't know, the origin of the term heavy metal appears to go back to the Toronto lead singer John Kay of the band Steppenwolf, whose credit is the first person to use the term in the classic 1968 song Born to Be Wild. There's a line in that song that mentions heavy metal thunder. And since then, again, going back to 68, that term heavy metal was thought to adequately describe the kind of loud, grinding, machine-like pounding of drums and electric guitars combined with oftentimes dramatic, commanding, yes, piercing vocals, which, by the way, Ozzy never had. Ozzy always had a very lyrical tenor voice. But what's so interesting is that the instrumental timbre of heavy metal is actually quite akin to the timbre of a string orchestra, particularly a cello. If a cello gets mic'd up and it's playing on its lower strings, its lower register, it can be hard to distinguish between a cello and an electric guitar playing on its lower strings. In fact, there's a Finnish band called Apocalyptica. They're a cello quartet. You might want to check them out on YouTube. They made a career out of transcribing heavy metal music for cello ensemble, and it sounds amazing. So that sonority, that almost orchestral-like sound that heavy metal is actually capable of mimicking, lends itself to often sounding very classical. So you can go on YouTube and watch tons of electric guitar players playing Beethoven sonatas or Vivaldi concertos. The electric guitar, when it's playing rhythm, sounds a lot like a cello. But when it's playing solo in the high registers, it sounds a lot like a violin. And so that's how you get guitar players like the Swedish virtuoso Yngwie Malmsteen sounding very much like the 19th century violin virtuoso Niccolo Paganini. In fact, Malmsteen ended up playing with an orchestra. I mean, that's the magic of heavy metal. Metal is a modern form of music that lends itself to very traditionalist sound and sonority. And Ozzy tapped into that sort of archaeo-modern sound when he went solo after he left Black Sabbath back in 1979. And so in many respects, Ozzy not only forged the beginnings of metal in the late 60s, the more hard rock sounding form of metal, but he also forged that more archaeo future sounding, that more gothic classical sounding metal when he went solo in the 80s. In fact, he loved to begin his concerts before he came out on stage when the lights dim. He loved to begin by blaring classical music through the PA system, particularly Carl Orff's Carmina Burana. I'm sure you've all heard of it. La 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 boom boom. La 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 boom boom. La 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 boom. La da 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 boom boom. Da da da. Right, Carmina Burana is a modern piece written in the 20th century by Carl Orff, the German composer, but it's styled after this medieval Gregorian chant. It's a glorious piece, and in many ways, it's sort of the classical version of Ozzy's music, which was both very ancient. He loved medieval modal sounding melodies, but of course those medieval modal sounding melodies were played through modern technology, electric guitars, amplifiers, mics. So Ozzy's music was in many ways the very essence of archaeomodern. And this is where I came in contact with Ozzy. I discovered Ozzy back in the early 80s, thanks to my cousin Patrick. We were hanging out together in California somewhere one summer. My mom's from the West Coast, and we'd often spend several weeks in the summers in California. And he and I were goofing around a basketball court outside, and he brought a boombox, set it down, popped in the cassette tape, and it was the first track of Blizzard of Oz. And it was the song I Don't Know. And that's the name of the song, but it's a perfect, you know, who's on first joke. What's the name of the song? I don't know. Well, I guess I'll ask someone else. No, I told you. Tell me what? The name of the song. What's the name of the song? I don't know. Well, I'm going to ask somebody else. No, but I told you. What's the name of the song? I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. It would be a perfect setup for a Abbott Costello gag, but I digress. When my cousin hit the play button, my freaking life changed. It was like I was made for that music. I was already playing guitars intermediate at the time. But when I heard that guitar player, the one and only Randy Rhoads, I was absolutely transfixed. And for me, that's the legacy of Ozzy Osbourne in my life. He was the bridge to Randy Rhoads. And Randy Rhoads, who ended up dying tragically in a prop plane accident, a stupid, careless stunt by somebody who thought he could fly a plane. Not Randy, but the guy who was trying to fly the plane. Randy was only 26 years old. But he only ended up recording two albums, Ozzy's first two. And in those 16 or so songs, he established himself to be one of the greatest metal players of all time. But at the end of his life, he got into classical guitar. He was taking classical guitar lessons as one of the greatest metal guitarists in the world. And he inspired me to take classical guitar lessons. And those of you who know, I ended up auditioning and getting accepted to the Peabody Conservatory of Music back in 1988. And my first degree was in classical guitar performance, where I studied with the great guitarist Manuel Barroico. It was Randy Rhoads that got me started on that classical guitar journey, precisely because of this archaeomodern aesthetic that Ozzy's music helped forge the beginnings of. So for me, that is the real significance of Ozzy. He was the bridge to Randy Rhoads, and Randy Rhoads was the bridge to my early classical guitar world and career. And it was at that conservatory where I met my wife of the last, almost 30 years. And that archaeofuture aesthetic, that blending together traditional modes and melodies with modern technology, has been a passion of mine in all of its social and cultural and political applications ever since. In many ways, it shapes my political and cultural analysis today. So there you go. I mean, I could go on and on. Obviously, Ozzy Osbourne had enormous influence in my life, however, indirectly. Another interesting tidbit there is that when I was actively playing heavy metal guitar as a teenager, I grew up in Connecticut in the greater New York area. And after Randy Rhoads died, and after Jake E. Lee, who replaced Randy, left the band, Ozzy was looking for a new guitar player. And among all the auditions across the nation, it came down to two guitar players. An amazing heavy metal player by the name of Jimmy Bell in Middletown, Connecticut. I actually saw him playing in a nightclub once, and he blew my mind. He changed my whole way. I thought it was possible in the electric guitar. And another pretty impressive guitar player from Jersey named Zach Wild. And what was so amazing was that Zach Wild had a guitar teacher named Dave DePietro, the guitarist for the band T.T. Quick. I didn't know Dave, but I knew his brother, who lived in Connecticut and was a singer in a number of bands. So the two finalists for Randy Rhoads' replacement were both in my proverbial backyard, Jimmy Bell in Connecticut and Zach Wild in Jersey. And of course, Ozzy went with Zach, but I actually got to witness, as it were, Ozzy choose his next guitar player firsthand. It was an amazing privilege. But his career was stunning. It spanned decades. He never stopped making music. In fact, he performed his final concert just a few weeks back with Black Sabbath in Birmingham, England, where it all started. So it was a fitting end to an astonishing, unprecedented career that impacted more lives than anyone could ever imagine, including mine. So may God bless John Michael Osborne. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. God bless.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.